Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
There was a couple stories that I wanted to read to you this morning because I like to make you laugh. There was one that says, after pulling three double shifts in a row, it says, my brother Billy, I don't have a brother Billy, it's just a story. It says, my brother Billy, a hotel clerk, he was worn out and he was tired. And on one of his few breaks, he went to the hotel restaurant to grab a bite to eat. And when his food came, Billy, you know, with his mind in a fog, he bowed his head for the blessing and he whispered these words to God. He said, good evening, Holiday Inn, how can I help you? Cheesy, but it'll work. There's another one that says, Sam shows up at a revival meeting and he's seeking help. He says, I need you to pray for my hearing, he tells the preacher. And the preacher puts his fingers on Sam's ears and he prays earnestly and he prays again. And when he's done, he asks, he says, how is your hearing now? He goes, well, I don't know. He goes, I don't go to court till next Tuesday. All right, that's all I got. Okay. That was good, right? As we get into the word this morning, I felt something just kind of birthing inside of me, and it's something I felt I wanted to address the church about today, and I'm so glad that I had this opportunity. How many times have you ever found yourself stuck in a season and you wonder why? How many of you have gone through that, you know, that spiritual walk with the Lord, and you've lived life with Jesus, but maybe you found yourself in a particular season where you feel kind of like you're in a rut? Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? That is where sometimes the zeal for God, kind of you lose that fire, that urgency. You lose maybe a little bit of that, you know, tenacity to serve God. Or maybe you go through a time or a season where, you know, you have felt, you know, just the presence of God in such a strong way. But maybe now in the season that you're currently living in, or in the current landscape that we are living in, maybe it seems as though God is distant. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And when those seasons hit, when those seasons kind of drag along, you know, and they kind of seem like they're never going to change, they're never going to shift, those things are very trying. They can actually become exhausting to your spirit. They can become overwhelming and even burdensome to your life. And we are living, church, in that season, amen? We are living in a very trying, perilous, exhausting season that is transpired all around us. Can I get an amen this morning, amen? In our national landscape, the truth is it's really at an all-time low. Nationally, in society, in our communities, in our, you know, in just the whole realm of how we operate in this world today, I believe is at an all-time low. This is not anything that you and I had in mind at the beginning of last year saying, oh man, 2020 is going to be the best year ever. We always proclaim those things, right? 2020, man, is going to be a year of jubilee. 2020 is going to be a year that you know, we're going to see great breakthrough in the Lord. And you know what? Though it did not transpire the way we thought it would, though it did not, you know, happen in ways that we thought it would, I believe, church, Romans chapter 5, I should have given it to the guys, but I'll read it to you quickly. In Romans chapter 5, it says this. Give me one second. I don't want to mess up the verse for you too much. In Romans chapter 5, we're starting around verse 3. It says, but we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Can I get an amen? Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. Amen? And so though we are in a trying season, though we are in a difficult time, we might find ourselves, church, having actually grown in the Lord. God is building something inside of you. Can you say amen? God is actually doing a work inside of you. And you say, Pastor Duke, you know, this has been the most strenuous, stressful, you know, just tough season for me. You know, I hear a lot of people talking these days about their mental health and about just, you know, their minds, anxiety and all these things. And listen, I believe that throughout the course of this year, we've been in a spiritual workout. We've been working out, and God has been testing us. God has been putting us through a fire. God has allowed us to go through a fire so that he can strengthen us on the other end. Amen. He's doing a work in our life, church. And guess what? We need it. It's never a good thing when you're comfortable in God. I'll say that one more time. It's never a good thing when you get comfortable in God, because that's when the fire starts to burn out. And that's when the enemy tries to bring the rain. And that's when he tries to snuff out the fire of God in your life. And he tries to snuff out the work of God in your life. And so listen, all of this season, everything that has transpired has been for your good. Say, Pastor Duke, but things haven't gone the way that I thought they were. It doesn't matter. You're not God. Amen? I don't know how God thinks of the plans that he thinks of and how he thinks to get his people to the place that he desires that they end up. But guess what? In the end, God will get the glory. Amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 29. It says that his purposes for us, they're for good, church. The purposes that you are going in, that you are living in right now, they are for good. And so again, I say that, you know, the things that we are experiencing in this nation, church, our society right now is bent on aggression. It's bent on angst towards one another. And the church, unfortunately, has followed suit in one way or another, all in the name of justification. This is where it's going to get real. Remember, you guys just said a minute ago, you're going to receive all this stuff, okay? How many of us just wish we could push the reset button on the season that we're living in? Just say, you know, I saw a picture and it was basically, y'all have Wi-Fi at home, right? I'm pretty sure you do. You live in America. But you have Wi-Fi at home, and sometimes when that thing doesn't work, you got to unplug it and you got to plug it back in, and then it'll work. And it was kind of a funny picture, but it was like, hey, can we unplug 2020 and plug it back in and get it to work right? And it seems that even though we crossed the threshold into a new year, into 2021, it almost seems like we need to push that reset button again. But I do not have a magical button that's going to reset society. I do not have a magical button that's going to reset anything. But you have a heart inside of you that you can change through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you would just surrender it to him. The Lord has the ability, church, to perform the miraculous in your life. The Lord has the ability to reset those things and refocus those things in our lives that have grown astray. The Bible says in John chapter 15, you know the verses. Jesus says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. Amen. But he says, any branch that does not produce fruit, what does he say? He's going to cut it off. He has to cut it off, church. Why? Because it's unproductive in your life. And there could be things that are in your heart and in your life today that are unproductive. They're actually hurting you. They're actually making the fruit that you once bore smell. And now all of a sudden you don't have the fragrance and the aroma of Christ in your heart, but you may actually have smelly fruit in your life. Nobody likes that, amen? How many of y'all dare to open that drawer in the bottom of the fridge where the fruit's been sitting for like 5 months? Anybody ever done that? It's growing stuff. It's like walking around in the drawer by itself. You open that drawer and it's, whew, throw that stuff away. Any branch in your life that does not produce the fruit of God needs to be cut off. But you can't do the trimming. You have to put yourself in the potter's hands, if you will. You have to put yourself before God so that he can shape your life, so that he can trim off those things off your life to perfect you in Jesus. Amen? But the real question is this, is have we ever stopped to consider what God is pleased by and what actually makes the heart of God glad? Have we ever stopped to think about the things that we do routinely, rigorously, day in and day out, and actually think, does this please him? Does this thing in my life give him the glory that he is worthy of? All too often, I believe that we make a doctrine out of our point of view. All too often, compartmentalize what we believe is righteousness. And this can actually lead us into behavior that God detests. The moment you think you're right, you're probably wrong. The moment that you think you've got it all figured out, like Paul said, he said, I haven't obtained it all. He said, but what did he do? He strives towards the prize that Christ Jesus has called him to. The moment that we think, church, that we're good and they're wrong, we've got it all backwards and all messed up. And it's not about keeping you so much on the edge of you'll never be anything in Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is purity before the Lord. Purity before Him, church. Can I preach this message to you this morning? All right. It's about purity before the Lord. And actually saying, you know what, Lord, I don't know at what point I stopped allowing you to trim the branches of my heart. I don't know, maybe, Lord, at what point I stopped being sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life. But if you're in that place today, I pray in Jesus' name that you will have a heart's reset over your life to where the only voice that matters, the voice and the name that has been given to us above all government, above all authority, above every single thing in this world. The Bible says, church, that the earth is the footstool of God. That means that He is the supreme being and that He deserves the supreme attention that we can offer Him. When we give Him fully our heart, He can do the impossible in your life. He can do everything. And so I believe, church, that we have to understand that we need to take sides out of these things. We need to take agendas out of our hearts. We even need to take teams out of our lives so that we can fulfill the plan of God in 2021. Amen. And please God above all things and not men or not anyone else. Can I get an amen this morning? How many of you want true revival in this land? How many of you want true revival in this land? How many of you want to see people come to Jesus? Amen? You want to see hearts reconciled before God again? Amen? How many of you want to see restoration and peace in this nation? Come on. Come on. This is what we need. This is what we need. I believe that we all do. And if that's the case, then we must reset our hearts back to a singular focus on Christ. Say no to the distractions and say yes to Jesus. Our obedience towards the one that we call Lord must be our sole desire, church. I said our obedience to the one that we call Lord must be our soul's desire. It must be what is absolutely uncompromised as we walk in the next season. How many of you know, church, that you cannot get away with expecting God to do a new thing and you fulfilling it by your old patterns or your old ways? Jesus said these words. He says, you cannot place new wine in an old wineskin. That means that the vessel of your heart has to be prepared to receive that which God is about to do, not which God has just done. And so there has to be a renewal. There has to be a place in your life where you say, God, I'm ready to receive what it is that you have for me. My heart, God, is before you, Lord. It's been cleansed, God. It's ready to receive the new wine that you're about to pour into it. But it also means this, church. It means that the method and the way that you used to live before is not going to be enough in this next season. So if you prayed for 5 minutes a day, if you read one Bible verse every single morning and you thought that was good enough, it's not going to be enough for the next season. Jesus is going to come, church. And the Bible says that He's going to find either the people of God with faith, working for Him, serving and witnessing and loving others, or He's going to find somebody that's doing absolutely nothing. I want to be found in the place where Jesus wants me to be living, church. I want to be found in the place where Jesus knows that I'm actively serving Him, where I have set my will and my pride in everything that I am aside to serve and follow Jesus alone. He said that no one can serve two masters. He said you'll either love one and hate the other. Scripture is clear to say that Jesus must be Lord of all. He competes with no one. He is either Lord of all or He's not Lord of anything in your life. We need this reset for our church. We need this reset, church, for our society, our communities. We need this for our families. We need this for our nation. All too often, we wonder why everything's going bad out there. Listen, it's probably because the people in here have forgotten what to do. Did you know that we're responsible for that out there? Yeah. The church has always been given a voice and the authority of God to speak forth power and love everywhere they go. Did you know that? You will not be silenced. Did you know that? I don't care if a Facebook or a Twitter or some social media platform wants to silence you. You have a voice, church. You have a voice. And so everything that we do in this next season is it has to be pure. It has to be before God. It has to be uncompromised. And I believe, church, that the Lord has gone before us and he is preparing a way for us. He has planned out every single thing for our lives. But our attention, our focus, our adoration, and our purpose must be on him. Amen. And so I want to speak to you for a few minutes about the Lord and about God's children, the Israelites. They were promised an exodus from their slavery in Egypt to God's promised land in Canaan. And how many of you want, you know, or how many of you know it can be a weary place waiting for a fulfilled promise? Amen. It can be a challenging thing waiting for that very thing that you're holding on to, that very promise of the Lord. And so we find in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, if you have your Bibles, open them there. We need to start bringing our Bibles to church in 2021. Amen. All right, don't get lazy just because we got screens, all right? Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 says, "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." And he says, "And I will bring you to the land that I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." He says, "I will give it to you as a possession. And I am the Lord," he says. Verse 9 says, "So Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and their cruel bondage." I want us to just pray one more time. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Every single heart in this room, God, speak to us, Lord. Father, may every single word of mine fall to the ground, Lord, and may you speak through me, your vessel, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We quickly see an attitude, a glimpse rather, of an attitude that the Israelites had. They were given the opportunity to receive what was promised to them. Do you understand what's happening in this verse? They were given the opportunity. The Lord is speaking to them saying, listen, all of that, it's yours. Every single hill, every single valley, all of the rivers, all of the land. Canaan, it's yours. All of it, it's yours. You have that. That is your inheritance. We're going to get you there. I'm the Lord your God. You're going to see that I am able to do it. I am able to make a way. They sat there in their mind and in their heart and in discouragement. And they were so used to their discouragement and their bondage, the years that they had been bound by slavery, the years that they had been, their minds have been formed. You have to realize that generations and generations of God's people had been bound. So they never knew what freedom looked like, church. They never had this idea of what a perfect freedom actually was. And so all of this slavery and bondage and discouragement, it had them so bound that their very thinking couldn't comprehend what freedom actually looked like. They couldn't see themselves without shackles. They couldn't see themselves without handcuffs. They had no picture of what a life full of promises could actually look like. The very appearance of Pharaoh probably made them shudder in fear. And the very fact that he could still be on his earthly throne somehow covered them from seeing God in the clouds. They had been conditioned over a period of time to just say, this is it. We'll never be free. And God is speaking to their life saying, you're going to be free. But because of their condition, because of the amount of years that they went on thinking this way, they were discouraged. They said, I don't know what freedom's ever going to look like. And maybe you feel like the Israelites right now. You feel like you've been stuck in this midnight hour, in this season that has never seemed to end. You might be so up and down in hopelessness and go from hopelessness to despair, and you have somehow been blinded by who actually sits on an American stool, and you've forgotten that there is one whose earth is the footstool. Say, this nation has gone so far astray. It's so futile in its thinking. It's so perverted in all of its ways. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I saw a picture, a meme, and it basically said this. It said, you know, 2020 has been so hard that they couldn't afford to pay for the light at the end of the tunnel. They had to shut off the light. And the truth is that as long as Jesus is on the throne, and my Bible says that's forever, we have hope, church. I said we have hope, amen? But maybe somehow you and I have been blinded. We have gone through this season and it's been so long that we have forgotten the one who's actually on the throne. We have maybe forgotten the one whom calls the stars by name. The one who is actually the righteous ruler. The one who sends rain on both the righteous and the wicked. The one who blesses and curses. The one who has the power to enrich and the power to impoverish. The one who raises the weak. The one who resurrects the dead. The one who is more than able. The one who can and will do it again, church. That one, Jesus, he is all sufficient and he lacks absolutely nothing. Amen. He is the King above all kings, and his kingdom is above all kingdoms. He is the Almighty God who lacks no strength. He is the one who died in your place, and he is the one who bore your sins in his body. And just because we're stepping into a new season and a new year doesn't mean that somehow he has changed. He is still the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He is the same God, church. He is the same God. But let me teach you something this morning. Submission to seasons will acclimate you to your surroundings. I'll say it one more time. Submission to seasons will acclimate you to your surroundings. That means that if somehow you stay in the same environment, in the same way of thinking, in the same pattern of living long enough, it will acclimate you to that way of life. And that's exactly what the Israelites had experienced. They were so stuck in their way of life that they could not see the promise on the other end. They quenched the faith that was required to move forward and believe that which God has always desired for his people, which is freedom. Their unbelief, their inability to see that God still existed, their inability to see that God could actually get them there, had clouded their thinking so much that it had quenched their faith, church, to be able to move into that which God had for them. And I pray today over your life that your faith is still strong, that the measure of faith that God has given you has not been quenched by this season that we are living in. Amen? I'll say it one more time. The faith that you have in your life, everybody say, I have faith. Come on, you've got faith in this place. The faith that you have in your life still means that God can do the impossible no matter how it looks in our life. No matter how it looks. No matter how it looks, church. And many times, listen, we are transitioned into seasons that we may not desire. But it's through these seasons that we still need to obey and trust in God. Amen? Whose voice will you obey? Whose voice will you obey? I'm listening to Jesus. I don't know about you. There ain't no news channel that has Jesus on it. Hallelujah. There ain't no social media site that has Jesus on it. I have a relationship with Jesus. He speaks to my heart. He stills the storm inside of me. He gives me peace in the middle of the night. He provides for my every need, church. He fills me with joy when I'm hurting. This is the Jesus that I know and the Jesus that I serve. And so listen, church, obedience is the threshold. That is, it is the key to the next season. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. Well, listen, hey, I have faith. Faith is crazy. Everyone say I'm crazy. Yeah, I know you are. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 1. You know that obedience always ushers in the presence of God. You want to see the presence of God moving powerfully? Live an obedient life. Leviticus 26 and 1 says, do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves. And do not place a carved stone in your land to bow before it. I am the Lord your God. He said, observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. He says, I am the Lord. He says, if you follow my decrees and you're careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season. And the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruits. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all of the food you want, and you will live in safety in your land. How many of you want to eat all the food that you want? If you keep doing that, you're going to see Jesus before the rest of us. Amen. But what he's talking about here is he's saying you're going to lack absolutely nothing. You will plant and you'll be able to harvest. And there's going to be no gap. There's going to be nothing where it's like, oh man, I ran out of harvest or I ran out of seed to plant. He's saying, listen, everything that you will put your hand to, every single thing that you have given yourself to is going to be blessed by my hand. It's going to be blessed by my hand. You see, but God's people have always had issues with images, graven images or idols or gods that took the place of their worship. God's people have always seen something that seems like it's more powerful than God, and everybody runs to it. Say, oh, wow, you know, they made a new vaccine. Sounds like a good idea. Not dismissing the wisdom of God in our medical fields. I'm not dismissing that at all. But sometimes if it becomes the very thing that you have placed your hope in, then you are making it an idol. Say, oh man, but if this guy's elected, hey man, we're going to be good. Doesn't matter who's elected. He's still Lord. I said, he's still Lord. We're going to fight for things. Of course we are. We're going to trust and believe that God is going to work it out. But listen, time and time again, my Bible has shown me that there was probably more evil kings than good ones in Scripture. Go through, there's Ahab and there's, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, and there's all these guys that we see in the Scripture. And listen, sometimes they were allowed to be in reign. Sometimes they were actually allowed by God to be in that place. Or maybe when they got there, they were humble and they were living for God, but somehow in the realm of power, actually sitting on the throne with the palaces and stuff, their heart became prideful, and then God had to remove them. Listen, these things still happen today, church. They still happen today, but guess what? The president is not my Lord. No matter who that is, he's not my Lord. My Lord is Jesus. My Lord is Jesus. Amen? My Lord is Jesus. He is the one, church, that can turn a nation in a split second. He is the one who can send rain on the land and blessings forevermore. He's the one to whom all these things come from. Does he appoint men? Yes, he does. But listen, God's people have always struggled with this. And listen, idols took them from true worship and they falsely influenced their trust. You see, if you have somehow lost trust because of an election or some major thing that's happening in our country, you never had your trust in God to begin with. If somehow throughout this whole process you've fallen weary and full of despair, your trust was in the wrong place, my friend. Because if it was on Jesus, it doesn't matter what happens outside of that realm, you still know that he is your hope and that he is your anchor and that you are firm and secure in him. Can I get an amen this morning? And so in today's society, people of influence who can potentially control or change something, they actually become the face of allegiance and trust, even in the church. People that have some sort of power, some sort of control, whether it be money or finances or some particular position, they actually become the face of allegiance and trust. And what happens when that face changes is everybody goes, oh, I don't know what to do. Where do I go? What do I do? And so we're challenged in society today with idolizing musicians or bands or artists or actors, actresses, movie stars, networks, internet, social sites, gathering places, professions, careers, jobs, politicians, wealthy and popular. And the end result is this. The end result of misplaced trust, church, is worship and affection that is a self-serving, greedy society. This is what happens when we get it turned around. Now all of a sudden it's about you, and it was never about you, when it was always supposed to be about Jesus. Obedience to what the Lord has asked results in rain in its season. You know what that scripture means? It means that it's actually refreshing. It means that it's an outpour of the Spirit, it's peace, and it's cleansing over your life. That's what the scripture is promising us. He said there would be a harvest for your seed. That means that you would reap from what you have sown. That means that something is coming back to your life. It also means that your threshing will continue. That is an abundance of God's blessings. How many of you have been living in abundance? I know you have. I've seen all the Amazon packages delivered to your house. Yeah, you laugh about it because you know it's true. I should be like part owner of Amazon by now. I don't know. Me and that guy need to have a talk. You will eat all the food you want. That is provision and overflow. Imagine actually living where you didn't have enough. And I believe that one time or another, maybe you've been there in your life where you didn't have enough, where it was a struggle to make ends meet, where it was a struggle to have for the next day. But the scripture is promising us a life of obedience will actually allow us to live in provision and in overflow. It also says that you will live in safety. That is, God's protection and shielding will be upon your life. How many of you want that one? Amen. How many of you long again for the restoration of God's people? That is revival of this land. Amen. And the reconciliation of hearts back to the Lord. We all want that. Then we must obey the voice of the Lord once again. The voice of the Lord, church. Despite the season, despite the circumstances around us. Psalms 119 verse 50 says, my comfort in my suffering is this, is your promises preserve my life. My comfort in my suffering is this, is your promise preserves my life. Psalm 119 verse 107 says, I have suffered much, but preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. You see, he is able, church. At the sound of the voice of God, church, he spoke this world into creation. Just by his very thoughts, the Bible says that he formed you in your mother's womb. He knew you. He predestined your life. He set out this amazing plan for you. He gave you gifts from above. He did all of these amazing things in your life just by thinking about it and just by speaking forth a word. So how dare we not believe in the power of his word? We must believe it again. John 5 and 24 says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. And he will not be judged, but he has crossed over from death to life. He says, so very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead, that is spiritually speaking, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That's a powerful voice. I'm reminded of this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a golden image made of himself, and he ordered all the people in the land at the sound of the musicians. The musicians, they had their harps and their lyres and their flutes and their trumpets and everything. They had all these things at the sound of them blowing their instruments, that all the people in the land had to bow down to worship this image. And the Bible says that there was three young men amongst them in that land that would not bow. And they were approached by other people of influence that had actually witnessed them not bowing to the king. They had actually witnessed them, you know, kind of irreverently, you know, misbehaving because they hadn't followed orders. And so eventually the king himself, in intimidation, he gets over to them and he gives them an opportunity to change their mind. He says, I'm going to let them play the music one more time. And you three boys, there's the image. You're going to bow down to it. They played the music and the boys stood firm. And the king was so raged in fury, he ordered them to be tied up by his strongest soldiers. And he even ordered the fire to be made 7 times hotter. Do you still trust in the Lord? You can feel the heat now. the boys still had a chance to change their mind. They still had an opportunity to say, I don't know. This is, I can feel this one. This doesn't feel like we've been invited to the barbecue. It seems like we are the barbecue. Seven times hotter. And the Bible says that when he was doing this, he had his guards throw them in. And the Bible says that even some of his own guards got burned up because it was so hot. It was so hot that these men died. And when he threw the three boys into the fire, they were bound. He uttered these words in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most God High." He says, "Come out." He says, "Come here." And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors, they crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not burned their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on their life. Then Nebuchadnezzar said this. He said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent an angel who rescued his servants." He said, "They trusted in him, and they defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own." He says, "Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their house be burned into piles of rubble." He says, "For no other God can save in this way." He says, and then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Can you see how of a response of obedience to the voice of God can have such a powerful, powerful shift on the society around them? Three obedient boys shifted an entire nation because they would not bow down to that nation. They would only stand firm before their God. And no matter what that king tried to do to them, it did not matter, church. I said, it did not matter. Because he stepped into the fire with them and he pulled them right out and they were unharmed. So much so to where the king actually said, "Whoa, hold on a second. I don't know whose God that their God is, but this land is now under their God. This land is now going to serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Your response to the voice of God can reset the hearts of wicked men back to the Lord, church. Your response to the voice of God can reset the hearts of wicked men back to the Lord. Stop saying it's over. Stop saying that things will never change. They'll only get worse. That is not the faith of one who believes in the God of the impossible. That's not faith at all. But if God has reconciled your life back to him, can I get a witness? Then you better believe that every knee can and every knee will bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, church. Every knee. Every single knee. But the Lord isn't looking for anything else but your response to his voice and your obedience towards him. How many of you know that true faith in God looks like complete foolishness to the world? I said, true faith in God looks like complete foolishness to the world. I've said this before from this pulpit, and I have just a couple minutes left. Coronavirus that we're dealing with today was much like leprosy that they were dealing with back in the times of Jesus. And Jesus did the unthinkable. Jesus didn't see and witness the leper who was walking on the outskirts of the city saying, "I'm unclean. I'm unclean." That's how they had to walk throughout society. They had to walk around and they had to go like this. They had to declare that they themselves had this leprous disease. And that anyone that came into contact with them, that rubbed up against them, that maybe rubbed up against their clothes, was going to get leprosy too. And Jesus did the unthinkable, church. You know what he did? Under the influence of the power of the kingdom of God, he walked up to the leprous man. and he touched him. He touched him. Everyone else is probably going, dude, what did you just do? Jesus, what are you doing? This is crazy. Why would you do that? And Jesus touched him, and the Bible says that his leprosy left. That's what faith it looks like, church. That's what obedient to the Father's voice looks like. Listen, Jesus did not do anything outside of the Father's will. That is the word of God. He did not do anything that he did not hear his Father tell him to do, nor did he disobey his Father in any way. But he was always empowered to do it, church. Do you have faith? If God has spoken to your heart clearly, then you have to follow his voice. I'm sure everybody thought that Noah was a fool until it started raining. I'm sure nobody believed that Abraham and Sarah could have a son at nearly a century old until Isaac was born. And that's faith. That's God speaking into your life. I'm sure that the, you know, entire, you know, army of soldiers there, the Bible says there was 100,000 soldiers lined up and only one David that went to the battle line. And I'm sure 100,000 men thought that David would get slaughtered until that stone hit Goliath's forehead. You see, that's what faith looks like. God's just looking for one. But if the whole room of people says, God, I'm yours, then God will take it. And he'll work through your life. You see, the words and the promises of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to you now have the ability to do the impossible if you would just move forward and believe. I'm sure the Roman guards thought it was pretty foolish to guard a tomb until the stone was rolled away. And they actually saw that the Son of God wasn't there. A movement of the Holy Spirit's power through signs and wonders and miracles can still happen. Can somebody say amen? If we would just surrender all of us to all of God. Heaven hasn't closed, church. Amen. I said heaven hasn't closed. It isn't bankrupt. It hasn't used up all of its blessings. But the people of God have to once again align themselves with the spoken word of God. With the spoken word of God. Listen, we don't, you know, God doesn't conform to us. We conform our life to him. Amen? And the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is that this actually becomes possible. Your belief in this, your belief in the power of his word, your belief in the Holy Spirit speaking to your life actually says that it is possible. Can I get an amen this morning? I know things have been crazy, but God likes the crazy, amen? God likes the unseen. God loves to show up into impossible situations, but believers must believe. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, for the foolishness of God, God's not even foolish, but if God could be foolish, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. If somehow God could be weak, he's still stronger than human strength. You could put all 7 billion people on this planet together, or however many we are now, and be as strong as we are, and God could still go. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of a noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So that no one may boast before him, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. How many of you can thank God this morning for the wisdom of God making you look smart? Amen. Say, Pastor Duke, I did all my homework. Yeah, but you ain't that smart. He's a lot smarter than you. I love that scripture in the book of Proverbs. It says that the Lord thwarts the plans of his people. You want to make God laugh? Show him your plans. God's going to go, ha, that was cute. Let me show you how I'm going to do it. We may not know how we're going to get to the outcome, church. And we don't need to know how we're going to get to the outcome. All we need to do is obey the very next thing that the Lord has told us to do. Amen? Will you stand to your feet this morning? I have a couple more verses, and I'll give you two things really quickly that I want us to commit to in 2021. Commit to resetting our focus on all things that please the Lord. Number one is this, is do the Father's will. It's very simple. Do the will of the Father. Whatever the Lord speaks to your life, it is what He has placed on your life. And listen, whatever God brings you into, if the Lord said, hey, listen, this is what I want you to do. And this is so awesome because at the turn of this year, some people started telling me things that the Lord had put in their heart. Things like, you know, food pantry, food distribution, to be able to give food to people that are hungry, to be able to donate things and all this stuff. And I believe if the Lord put it on your heart, listen, God's going to provide. Amen? You don't have to know the outcome. All you got to do is just trust the first thing that He told you to do. Amen? And He will give you wisdom. And so Jesus said in John 4 and 34, He said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Secondly, we need to commit to love and serve one another. Amen? Everyone look at me and say, Pastor Duke, you're my brother from another mother. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here to serve one another in love. Amen? There's no divisions in the house of God. We all came here under the same Spirit and under the same Lord. Amen? We all call Him Lord. He is Lord of all. Listen, in this season, if you're not serving God, if you're not actively serving God, it could be witnessing at work. It could be ministering to your neighbors. It could be, helping in some ministry at church, whatever it is. Now is the time, church. Now is the time. Now is the time to get up and get actively serving the Lord. We need to commit to love and serve others. John 15 and 17 says, this is my command. Love each other. That's it. I love you. Can you tell me back? I hope you love me. I love you. I'm serious. Some of you, I've gotten to know some of you, and you're amazing. And you have specific gifts of God in your life that I do not possess. You have an anointing on your life that I do not have. You have a calling in your life that is not my own. This is the beauty of who God is that He calls us own according to His purposes. And He calls you in your own specific way to be a light in this world, to be a minister of the gospel, to be a witness of the fact of the power of the goodness of God in your life. He's called you all specifically. I haven't called you. He's called you. It's much better than me. It's much better than this ministry. It comes straight from heaven. It comes straight from heaven. And listen, that calling that is in your life, don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. I can tell you exactly where I was when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I can tell you from that exact moment of being a 15-year-old kid in March of 1998 that gave his heart to Jesus, I could have never imagined I would be standing here today. But it wasn't what I could wrap my mind around. It was just simply giving Him my yes. Giving Him my obedience and saying, Lord, do it in me. I don't know how You're going to do it, but just transform me. I lay my life before You, God. And it is the same for every single one of us in the house this morning. Romans 13 and 8 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. We need love back in the church, amen? We need love back in our world. We need love back in our society. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I believe that if we commit to do these things this year, church, following the Word of God, following the voice of God, following the Father's will, loving and serving others, it will bring about a transformation in our families, a transformation in our church, a transformation in our cities and our cultures. Amen? The Lord has called us and He has told us to bless those who curse us. You ever had somebody curse at you and you blessed them right back? He has called us to pray for those who oppose us. He has called us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of the widow and the orphan. He has told us to not lust or desire after what another possesses. He's told us to be content with our lot. He has commanded us to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to pray for others. He has told us to give generously and not to judge. He's commanded us to be a living epistle, a testimony unto himself. He's commanded us to offer him true and genuine worship and lives that display his glory. He wants his people to witness and testify of his goodness, of his faithfulness, and of the power of his son, Jesus Christ. And he's given us promises that we are to say yes and amen to. He has told us, church, to walk in the light. He has told us to shine our light before all men. He said that if we would continue to believe, that we too will one day meet him in the clouds to be resurrected in glory. Amen. But we must believe and we must do these things until he returns. Amen. The time is now. Amen. Can we thank God for his grace, for another opportunity to reset our hearts back to everything that pleases him today? With every hand lifted in this room this morning, Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in this room right now. And I want you right now, just take a moment between you and the Lord. Maybe there's something in your life, there's a branch that needs to be cut off. There's something in your life that maybe you've gotten distracted by. This is between you and the Lord right now. Right now, between you and the Lord, Holy Spirit, just do your work. Holy Spirit, bring conviction the only way that you can. And reset our hearts back to everything that pleases you today, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.